Okay. So I just wanted to set my goal for today. You know, my goals are always, I reach out to the sky. But what I would like to do today, in the Sefer Gvuras Yitzchak, which the photocopy should be coming if you didn't receive it yet, I'd love to do today, Simon Gimel. Okay. You know what I think? Let me just get my head on straight. Sorry, I think we're up to Simon Gimel.
I think Gimel is just famous because it's the original. The
original. Oh, that's it. Now I know why I can't find it. Okay.
Very good. Let me just make a bracha here.
Did you make copies?
Yes.
All right. So what pages do you have?
Zion to Yudbet.
Zion to Yudbet. Okay. So Zion, you'll see on top, it says Simon Gimel. Are you correct? Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask the regular share on Yeruch Hanukkah?
Let's ask the following question. I'm here on Hanukkah. I don't know if I have any commitments at this time on Hanukkah. You know, I haven't spoken to my wife, so you never know what could come up. And Baruch Hashem, our baby, I call her, our youngest, is due for the first, you know, for her first birth. So officially our due date is the day after Hanukkah, but you never know. Usually the first birth is a little late, you know. But blam dafka.
They celebrate Hanukkah, and they come out early for the first candle.
Right. Yeah. Never know. So I don't know if that should change anything, because I don't know how much, you know, I have to add over there or whatever. So the option would be, I would suggest the following, if it's okay with the Olam, that if you give me your email addresses, in most cases I have them, but still, if you don't mind, or at least give me your names on a list if you want an email from me in case I decided at the last minute to cancel the shiur. I'm not anticipating that happening, but it could. So, you know, maybe we could just circulate a page, and if you want to add your page for some sort of notification in event that we change the schedule.
I can't be here on Monday or Wednesday.
Okay, so if you're putting your name on the page, oh, you have an extra page, aren't you? So just write down, you know, when you know you can't be here, or when you think you can't be here. So again, what we're looking in front of us is Simon Gimel. Now that really starts on page Vav, but there are just a few words on page Vav, so I didn't bother photocopying page Vav, because those words are a straight quote from the Gemara, which I'll mention in just a minute. Then on page Tes, you'll have Simon Dalet, am I correct? Everybody have that? And that takes us all the way till Yud Beis. But I don't know if you have all those pages till Yud Beis.
Yeah.
You do? And that takes us all the way to Simon Hey. Now, I don't think it would be realistic for me to assume that we'll do Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. But I would like to set for my goal today, at the very barest minimum, that we should do Gimel, and maybe even Dalet. And if we really have a miracle of Hanukkah, we'll do Hey as well. Okay, then. So what are you missing on... This is a rhetorical question. What are you missing of Simon Gimel? So that's what I'm going to read to you now, which is on the bottom of page Vav. Some of you may have the bottom of page Vav. Yeah, you do have it, John? From earlier days. The Gemara says the following. According to Rav Huna, we have a principle called Kovsa Zokakla. And the reason why Rav Huna says that you cannot use the inferior quality oils that are possible for Shabbos is because of this principle called Kovsa Zokakla. Okay. Now, Rav Huna went a step further and he told us that these shmonim and psilos should not be used even on Shabbos of Chanukah. Okay? On Shabbos of Chanukah. Why did he add that statement? And the answer is because he wants to tell us that the principle called Shemayata applies even on a Ner Chanukah. Salka Daitachamina, that with regard to a Ner Chanukah, if we assume also Lishtamish Liora, then therefore you will not be tempted to tilt the Ner, and there's no Shemayata Kamash Malon, that the Shemayata applies to an Ner Chanukah as well, because Ner Chanukah is mutal l'shtamish lior according to this view. So far, it's pretty poshut. What's more complicated, and this you'll see on the top of your page Zion, is that Rashi at the beginning of Perek B'Mem Adlikin on Daf Chav, when the Mishnah establishes a psul in these neros and shmonim, these shmonim and psilos, Rashi says that the reason for that is because of Shemayat. The Rambam likewise in Perikei Milcha Shabbos says that the reason why we want to exclude these Neros and these Shmonim is because of Shemayat. And if you recall, for those of you who were with me in the past, we mentioned the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is very upset. He doesn't understand why both Rashi and the Rambam seem to be jumping a step. They're ahead of themselves. They're saying, well, you know what? With regard to Ner Shabbos, the problem of these wicks and oils is one of Shemayata. Forget about Shemayata. Why not use the same logic that Rav Huda used with regard to Ner Chanukah? He excluded these oils and these wicks because of Shemayichbe, which means that these are not reliable, steady oils and wicks. And whatever Rashi says over there, that we're afraid he won't rekindle it, blah, 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 but we're not getting into that today. Why not apply the principle of Shemayichbe in the case of Ner Shabbos? So let's just read the Prima Gadim's Kash inside. This is on page Zion. And towards the end of the first top paragraph, the last 2.5 lines, he says, V'hikshah Prima Gadim, Lama Noktu, Tam deshemayatim lo kosvu atam deshema yichbe. Okay, then that's the question of the Prima Gadim. Oh, so the Beis Halevi says the following: that shemayate is much more far-reaching than shemayichbe. There's a very strong impetus and motivation for both Rashi and the Rambam Pe'echa to introduce his Shemayata. Because it's quite possible that when Rav Huna is worried in Chanukah about Shemayichbe, what he means to say is that you should use those candles and those oils which are reliable, because you have a choice between those candles, those oils, and inferior oils. And given that choice, we're going to tell you and we're going to advocate that you take the superior oils. Why should we get into a b'dieved kind of situation if we can avoid one and use these inferior oils? Why not use the superior oils, correct? However, when it comes to Ner Shabbos, this is not just a question of a choice. You know, if you have two possibilities, we're going to advocate that you take the better option. But if you only have one possibility, let's say the only oil that's accessible are these inferior oils, we'll call it a shemen, shum shemen, shemen agozim, whatever it might be, then use those oils. No. The answer is shemayate. And since it's a shemayate here, this is going to prohibit you from using those oils. Let's go over the logic again. the case of Shema Yichbe, we're going to say to you the following. You know what? You have two choices in front of you. You have one kind of an oil, high quality oil, that doesn't have Shema Yichbe. It's reliable. You have another oil that's inferior quality and there's a Shema Yichbe. So if all things are equal, choose the oil that's perfect oil. You with me? Oh, but what would be if the only oil that you had accessible to you was the inferior oil? In such a case, we're not going to ask you to forfeit the mitzvah because of the Shema Yichbe. You know, call it Russian roulette, but maybe you'll luck out. Maybe you'll win the jackpot. And maybe, in fact, these inferior oils will last as long as you need them to last.
Or you relight them.
Or you could relight them. Okay. I don't know. You have to think that out very carefully. But again, in terms of how we're going to establish the mitzvah in a case where all you have in your inventory is an inferior quality of Shemin Shumshimin, so that's what we're going to tell you to light. Ah, it might go out, but maybe you'll look at it and it won't go out.
Do we say that about other mitzvahs, though? Do we use that a lot to our other mitzvahs?
Absolutely. Any mitzvah, we're going to tell you the following. Do it the way that would be ideal if you have that option, but if you don't have that option, do it a way that at least you'll accomplish, or at least you might accomplish your goal.
But if it goes out, it's not that you have accomplished it, so you didn't accomplish it. It didn't last 30 minutes.
So you want to say that maybe there's an issue with the bracha. Leave out the issue of the bracha. So let's just focus on the mitzvah for 1 minute, because again, there are so many variables. But let me ask you a question. If you have a b'dievet situation, and we're not sure if you'll accomplish the mitzvah, what should we tell you? Do nothing?
Right,
at least cut your losses, take the chance that maybe you'll succeed with this mitzvah.
The b'dievet here.
Leave out the bracha. Don't confuse me.
In terms of what the mitzvah is that it should be lit for 30 minutes. So if you have like a not great lulav or not great esrog, you're still taking lulav and esrog and shaking it. So b'dievet, if it's not the nicest one, you should still use it.
No, but yeah, so what's your option over there? Tell the guy to do nothing. All he has in his inventory.
Isn't that doesn't count as candles for Hanukkah.
But why? I'll give you a 50% chance that the lights will last. Would you rather go with 0 or with 50? No, I want to shoot for 100. But I can't get 100. I don't have the perfect oil. At least Chash let me shoot for 50.
And according to Rashi, it's only Shema Yipsha and he won't be lighted. Because it's Kavsar Zakar Club.
Abby, it's a lot better than that. If you're quoting Rashi, let's open up the Rashi, and I want to read to you the Rashi again. And give me 1 minute, Rabbi, and then the floor is yours. I just want to get to this point, because this is the main point of our discussion today, that if you read Rashi carefully, Rashi says the following. This is on the bottom of Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. Rashi says, Tzorech lechatchila, please emphasize the word lechatchila, lasos yofeh. This is how Rashi interprets Kavsa Zakakla. What does that mean? Comes along the Beis HaLevi and he says, if you read Rashi carefully, he introduces two words here that have to be understood and have to be emphasized. Number one, Lechatchila, and number two, Yafe. What is Rashi trying to convey to us? Says the Beis HaLevi, he's trying to convey to us that if you have two choices, you've got one choice which is Yafeh, one choice which is Lo Yafeh, then Lechatchilo, which one are you going to choose? The one that's Yafeh. Implying that if you don't have that opportunity, you don't have the choice to do a Yafeh case, then cut your losses. I mean, there's at least a chance that you might succeed, and do an Eda Yafeh, meaning use the inferior quality oils. If that be the case, then according to this reading of Rashi, the Prima Kodim's question falls by the wayside. Why? Because if you're going to introduce the same Svar of Shema Yichbe that you used in Chanukah to Ner Shabbos, you're going to end up violating what? The Shvus of Shema Yat. In other words, if your logic is that in Chanukah, fall back on a b'dievet situation if all you have in front of you is Shemen Egozim, that's all you have, and therefore get the best of do damage control, get the best of your possibilities, use Shemen Egozim because at least there's a chance you'll fulfill the mitzvah. Don't apply the same logic to a Ner Shabbos. With regard to Shabbos, if you have a Ner that's made of a Gozim, don't even dream of using it. Because there's a whole new element into the equation. What's the element? Not a question of Kiyum HaMitzvah, but a question of what? Of Iser, of violating an Iser. Rabbi, the floor is yours now. I just wanted to finish that one point.
I have a problem with the original Kashi of the Pre-Chagash.
The Prima Godin.
Prima Godin. The inferior oils is not a problem that they don't function. They do function. And I don't believe there's a concept of Shema Yichba. They don't function as well. That means the light is not Yofa, or is not Solul, it's not as bright as, and that's the reason Shema Yata, because you'll want it to be nice and maybe Shema Yata. I don't believe Bechlal, if these are oils, by definition they're going to burn properly. You can't use water, because water doesn't burn. You use oils, and these are inferior, not because Shema Yichba, but because they don't burn as brightly and as nicely. So his whole kasha to me is problematic.
So again, his kasha is, if there's something about the oil that's inferior, why isn't that enough to exclude that for Ner Shabbos? Why is Ner Shabbos less important than Ner Chanukah?
Because Shema Yata, because you're going to have light, you're going to have candles, but they're not going to be bright enough, and therefore Shema Yata. Like Rabbi Yishmael, he was reading a book and Shema Yata.
But again, let me go over the question of the people go to one more time. If you're telling me that this Ner that's inferior is excluded on Chanukah because whatever it is, it's inferior, it's weak, what word do you want to use? It doesn't light brightly. Whatever words you want to use to describe the nature of this inferior, why not apply that same reasoning to Ner Shabbos? If you're telling me it's
but
no good
do.
For Ner Chanukah,
they do.
Forget about Shema Yata. I never heard of Shema Yata. I don't know of Shema Yata. I never heard of Shema Yata.
So that's why.
Why do you have to introduce Shema Yata? Again, I never heard of Shema Yata. Ask me the question which the Rambam himself asks himself: why do I exclude these inferior oils for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? I never heard of Shema Yata. And the answer is because they're inferior oils. Call them, you want to use a different term. If you don't like the term Shema Yichba, use the term that it's a weakness, it's schwach, it's going to go out, it's dim, it's dill, you know, whatever words you want to use. But why shouldn't they apply to Chanukah, to Shabbos? Why should they apply less to Shabbos than they do to Ner Chanukah? I never heard of Shema Yata. Shema Yata is absolutely taboo. Why do the Rishonim have to answer Shema Yata? What forces the Rambam to say that the reason why these oils are excluded for Ner Shabbos is because of Shema Yata? Who needs Shema Yata? The same logic that excludes these oils for Chanukah should exclude them on Shabbos.
But you can
why do you need Shema Yata?
You can use these oils for Chanukah, but they have it.
Oh, that's exactly my shiur for today. My shiur for today is that in Chanukah, what we're saying is, if you read Rashi carefully, that this is not going to be your first choice. These oils are not what you call lechatchila lasosiyof. I'm just quoting Rashi verbatim. But the Beis Halevi points out that Rashi indicates that lechatchila tzorich lasosiyof. But what do I do? That's what I was discussing before with Yitzchak. Am I excluding these shmonim? I have no access to any other shmonim. Go ahead and use them.
Right.
That's okay for Chanukah. Comes along Rashi and the Rambam. They say, but in Shabbos, they're completely out of the question. Don't even dream. I don't care if you're the Ani Shebaniyim and you can't afford Neros, but all you have is this second-rate Neros. Don't even dream about lighting them on Shabbos. Why? Because of Shema Yata. And that makes Chanukah and Shabbos fundamentally different one from the other. That's what the Prima Godin was missing. That element in the equation he didn't have. The Prima Godin was working with the assumption that these inferior oils are pasul, treif, on Chanukah. You don't use them on Chanukah. And if you don't use them on Chanukah, don't even dream about using them on Shabbos. So what do you need Shema Yata for? Comes along the Beis HaLevi and he says, my friend, Rabbi Prima Godin, you missed. I forgot his name. I used to know his name. Anyway, you missed the point because you didn't see Rashi. If you had read Rashi carefully, you never would have asked this question. Rashi's only telling you that these oils are not your lechatchila lasosim yafe oils. But in a fallback position, and all he can afford, all he has access to, is Shemen HaGozim, which maybe he eats on Pesach. Here in Israel, I don't know. But in America, we used to eat Shemen HaGozim on Pesach. Anyway, in such a case, go ahead and light them. So Yitzhak here, my friend, is yelling and screaming, what do you mean light them? Maybe it's going to go out. But the answer is maybe it won't go out. Better give it a shot. You know, maybe it'll work. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. But not on Shabbos. And that's where Shemiyata comes up, steps up to the plate. That's what we've said so far. And Rabbi, I think you're in agreement with us. Maybe there are a couple of embellishments here, but that's what
he says. Here, Yosef and Meir to Omen.
Oh, excellent. To Omen, right. I want to tell you something. Again, I'm mamish negevet over. I shouldn't even say these things, but when I sat shiva for my father, my friend Pinky Weinberg, if anyone knows him, Rabbi Weinberg, had told me that he heard from Rabbi Teigman, who is my father's kavrusa for Yoredea in Yeshiva University. Then it wasn't called Yeshiva University, it was called Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan Yeshiva. We're going back to the 1930s. So Pinky Weinberg had told me when I sat shiva with my father that he knew Yoredea Chelek Aleph Shach Taz and Prima Gadol by that. Now, Prima Gadim, you can spend hours on every paragraph in the Prima Gadim. So, it boggled my mind. I mean, I knew my father was very bright, but I didn't think he was bright enough. And he got smicha at the age of 21 years old. You know what I'm saying? My father got smicha, by the way, before he graduated college. And there was a professor from Columbia in English literature, I don't know his name, you could probably find it out, who used to teach at Yeshiva College. Then it was called Yeshiva College. It wasn't a university there. And from January, the second semester in my father's senior year, whenever my father walked into class, this guy, a professor from Columbia, would stand up for my father. Because he was a rabbi. He was already ordained. I mean, it's a different belt, you know what I'm saying? There was no BDS in those days, you know what I'm saying? All right. Anyway, so now we get to a very fascinating chakira. Okay, this begins, if you have page Zion, on the bottom right. What happens in a case of Ner Shabbos if he went ahead against the law, he didn't ask his rabbi, and he lit Ner Shabbos with Shemen Egozin, or Shemen Shumshin? Clearly he violated what? A shvus of Shemiyat. It's like leaving a pot on an open fire, not a garfakotu, on Erev Shabbos in a state of mavushal v'yena mavushal, lo bishal kol tzark. He violated a shvus. Give him patch for violating a shvus. Did he fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? What would be your knee-jerk response?
Yes. Yes.
I would say no. Chas v'shalom. You're going to give a guy patch for violating a shavuos, and then you're going to tell me he gets rewarded for fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? This guy should be taught and fed. So the Prima Gadim wants to say the following, mind, that on a derabbanan level, what we have here is a mitzvah saseh of Ner Shabbos, a mitzvah lo saseh of not lighting an inferior oil because of Shemayat. Says the Prima Gadol. The essay, which is a kuvaseh, overrides the lo saseh of violating a shavuos. In other words, we're not going to give him patch at all. We're going to tell him to light those oils. Why? Because the essay, again, it's all derabbanan, but the mitzvah's essay derabbanan overrides the losaseh of do not light with inferior oils on Erev Shabbos. It sounds a little seductive, but L'chora Rabosa, it's absolutely wrong. Ken it Zion. You can't say such a thing.
Then there would be no losas.
No, the losas that would apply whenever it doesn't overlap. That's the word I wanted to use. Doesn't overlap with the essay. For example, let's say you and I, Abby, are in the same house. You light an Erev Shabbos, and then I want extra. I want extra light, so I light with Shemin HaGozen. I violate the Shavuos D'Rabbanan. But what happens if there's only one person lighting, or whatever the case may be, and he lights near Shabbos because he has nothing else with Shemin HaGozen? He violates the Shavuos, no? Says the Prima Gardener. But the essay of Ner Shabbos is more important because he calls it a kumvaseh. A kumvaseh always is greater than a shevi altas. A losaseh, by definition, is always a shevi altas, and don't violate this law. But an essay is more important than a losaseh. It's wrong. It's got to be wrong. We have something, Rabosai, called gzeira d'rab. I'll give you three examples of gzeira d'rab. Shabbos overlaps with Pesach. I'm sorry, with Sukkot. We don't take the lulav. Shabbos overlaps with Rosh Hashanah. We don't blow the shofar. Shabbos overlaps with Purim. Okay, Purim is a little less of an example because there the mitzvah Megillah is only derabbanan, so it's not as profound of a rite. But again, let's take the case of Purim Taka. What do you have? On one side of the fence, you have the mitzvah Saseh derabbanan of reading the Megillah. On the other side, you have a gzeir of Shavuos that maybe you'll go to a baki and you'll carry a dalet avos mishnas harabim. So what do? Two derabbanans. One's an essay and one's a los asseh. Says Rabba, drop the essay. A Shavuos is there even in the case of an essay. And not only that, even in the case of an essay d'oraisa, the Rabbanan have the authority, and they will use the authority, to be oker mitzvah min haTorah b'shevi altas, and they will tell you not to blow the shofar on Shabbos.
And if you did, would you have a mitzvah of hearing shofar? I think you would.
I don't know, that's a good question. But again, that's not what the Prima Gadim is asking. The Prima Gadim is saying that the essay is going to override the Shavuos. That's not true. The essay will not override the Shavuos. Now you can ask me a different question. That's Dr. Joel's question. Can I get brownie points for when I violated the law and I went ahead and I fulfilled that essay? In other words, what are Rabbanan telling me? And I would say to you, if it was me, forget about the essay. It's meaningless. Because you know what Gzeira D'Rabba tells me? That they completely undermine the essay. You go ahead and you violate the Shavuos, you get patched for the Shavuos, and you get absolutely no credit for the essay. But again, that's again a different thing. I don't want to get off a tangent, because again, you know, Dr. Joel, your question is excellent, but the way my mind works, if you know, you've been with me for a while, and I'm hoping that you'll accept my premise that Beis Shammai is no less important for us than Beis Hillel, right? What I'm saying is, let's just focus our attention on the following. Is it possible that in a conflict between an essay and a shvus, that we're going to tell you fulfill the essay because it overrides the shvus? And I'm telling you, that's an impossible, untenable position. Why? Because the whole enterprise of Rabba, called Gzeira D'Rabba, which applies everywhere you go in Shas, is all based on the following premise. We will drop the essay because of the Shavuos. Now you want to know, Dr. Joel, what happens if he went ahead and he did the essay? Does he get brownie points? I think no, but that's again a different issue. That's already a side point. The main issue I want to ask you is, what do we tell a person when he's in this conflict situation? He's got an essay and he's got a Shavuos. Should he go ahead for the sake of the essay and forget about the Shavuos, override the Shavuos? The answer is, I'll tell you this, even if the essay were a d'oraisa, We don't have too many mitzvahs to rise of Bizman Hazeh. We don't have a mikdash. But we do have lulav on the first day. We do have shofar on Rosh Hashanah the first day. Forget about those mitzvahs, because it's a shvus of Shabbos. He might come to carry the shofar or the lulav, dalet amos. Drop the mitzvahs. Why? Because of the shvus. So comes along the prima gadim and he says, you know what? For a mitzvah derabbanan of Ner Shabbos, I'm going to override the shvus. That's not true. Even for a mitzvah d'oraisa, I'm not going to override the shvus. How much more so for a mitzvah d'rabbanan? And if anyone in this room thinks I'm very passionate about this, you're 100% right. This goes into my kishis, I mean, I'm telling you. This is not all about dramatics. You know, the Rav used to say, the best Magid Shir should get an A in acting. You know, in, what do they call it? Not acting, there's a more fancy word for it.
Theatrics.
In theatrics, yeah, that's a good word. This is not theatrics, Rav Osai. Here, I think the Prima Gadim has gone off his rocker, pardon the expression. This is out of bounds, totally out of bounds. Yeah, Rabbi.
Exira the Rabba applies in those three cases.
There are a few other cases.
Yeah. Has it been extended, generally speaking, the principle?
I think so. Other,
is there another assay that you can say that we are mavatil because of a shus?
Right. It could be, again, you have to really know kala tarkula for this, that it depends whether it's a shus of Shabbos or other types of shusim. The shus of Shabbos, the Torah says tishbos. So there might be a special power and status to tishbos. But certainly, in the case of a ner of Shemen Agozim, that's a shvus of Shabbos. Shemiyata is a very serious business. Yeah. I think I may mention to you, Rabbi Osai, that my father, I have to get it to you, John, my father has a sefer which we published posthumously called Dovid Meshorim, and he asks Akasha in one of his essays there, why, when Shabbos overlaps with Pesach, the first day of Pesach, why don't we forego the mitzvah of matzah based on Gzeirah D'Rabbah? There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch that, again, today it's a little bit out of mode, but in those days they used to have matzahs with bubbles on them. And you cannot paskin on that matzah unless you're a baki. You really have to know the halachas. I mean, it's a whole siman Shulchan Aruch. Most people skip that siman because it's so complicated with folds and bubbles, and it bubbles this way, it bubbles that way. Is it chametz? Is it not chametz? And in the old days, if you had a matzah, you know, matzah wasn't like today, you know, matzah just falls from the heavens. You know what I'm saying? We have so much matzah coming out of our ears. We get sick from eating so many matzahs. But in those days, it wasn't like that. Matzah was a big deal. And you got a bubbled matzah. So what do you do with a bubbled matzah? A folded matzah. You have to take it to a bucket. And Rabbah says the following. Whenever you have to take it to a bucket, you might be tempted to carry it to a bucket. You know, the bucket is not, he's not living in your basement. The bucket is on the other side of Rishus HaRabbah. And there's a shvus. So my father has a whole shtickl Torah to try to explain why there's no shvus d'rabban of Rabbah when Shabbos coincides with matzah. I don't want anyone to walk out of here thinking that we don't eat matzah when Shabbos is Pesach. Okay. So let's move on, Rabbi. So we have a lot on the agenda today, so let's see if we can move on. Okay. There's a Gemara on Daf Chavav that cries out on behalf of the Bavliyim, because the Gemara says that the Bavliyim did not have access. This is, by the way, if you want to see this, on the bottom left on page Zion. You have it? About five lines up, six lines up before the end of the paragraph. The Gemara says, Mayasu Anshei Bavel She'en Lehem El Shumshimin Shemin Shumshimin. That's all they had. And the Gemara says that they had to forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos because they couldn't get access to any decent, you know, quality oils. So the question is here, according to the Prima Gadim, you have now a choice. All you have access to is the inferior oil. And that's a mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And the Gemara says, they just had to forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. they couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos, and they cry out for the Bavliim because they didn't have good oil. According to the Prima Gadol, there's no crying needed here. You don't have to shed a tear. What you have to do is light with Shemina goes. Okay, we're on now page Ches. Okay.
When the Prima Gadol says you're Avar and you're Mavli, you're saying he did amazing. I'm intentionally going to do it. I suppose you could read this that I accidentally lit these oils. I didn't know which oils it was. You did it accidentally. You got the mitzvah.
And I'll read to you what I have in the Prima Gadol. On page Zion on the left side on the top, he says, Kevan dad lokas ner chova nema, we should say, dekum vi esse drabonat yidche shevi alta se drabon. That's the language of the Prima Gadol, word for word. Again, yidche. Yidche doesn't mean avar v'docha. He says yidche. And he even goes ahead a step further and he compares it to esse docha lo sase. Okay.
But the emphasis is chova, not mitzvah.
Okay, maybe you want to go back to the Prima Gadol. I have too much on my agenda today, but Rabbi, again, you know, I only give you pointers. You know, you have to take it, you know, carry the ball. It's like in football. I can, you know, once you catch the ball, then you got to run with it. You know, and I'm not jealous of anyone who has to run with the football because they're all going to kill you, right? Okay. Now, do you see a paragraph that starts with Ulefi? Right on page Ches? Okay. Okay. Now, on page Ches, the Gvuras Yitzchak suggests the following, which I found very exciting. Let's accept the Prima Gadol, as difficult as it is, that we should apply the essay. And if you have nothing in your repertoire, all you should do, and all you have is a gozim, shumshimin, go ahead and light it. But the Gemara says, what do we do with the Bavli, right? And the Gemara cries out that they have to forego the mitzvah. So he wants to suggest the following. That when the Rabbanon dealt with these inferior oils, there was a two-stage process. Shlav Aleph and Shlav Beth. In Shlav Aleph, they said, hold it, Shemiyat. But that wasn't enough. Because if you go like the Prima Gadol, the essay of Ner Shabbos would override the Shavuos. But then they went to Shlav Bet. And they created what's called a Psul. Shlav Aleph is Isur, and Shlav Bet is Psul. Why the Bavliim in trouble? Not because of the Isur, because the mitzvahs I say, the Rabbanon, of course, of Ner Shabbos would override that Isur, according to the Prima Gadol's logic. But because the Rabbanon went one step further, and they established the Psul. Now, Rabosai, this is wonderful, except for Rashi. Because Rashi says in Ner Chanukah, Yesh lo lasoso lechatchila b'ner yofer. And the Beis Halevi, I think rightfully so, is medayik from Rashi that if you don't have access to any neros other than the inferior quality neros, so you're not in the lechatchila yesh lo lasos yofer mode, then go ahead and be makayim the mitzvah. Again, Yitzchok, we're hoping that we win the Russian relay over here. Miraculously, another Nes of Chanukah, it's going to last. And that's what you should do. When we get to Shabbos, oh no, 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 no. Shabbos took us one step further. In Chanukah, we were talking about Lechatchila. In Shabbos, we're saying there's a psul in the Shema. And that he proves again from this Gemara in Daf Chaf Vav about the Bavli. Now ask yourself the following question. Why in the case of Chanukah do they say, you know what? Go with the, you know, go with what you have. Never, all you have access to is this. Go with it. Go with it. Catch the ball and run with it because you don't have lechatchila ideal situation. That's all you have access. In Shabbos, they went a step further. And they said that the Shemin is possible. And I'm thinking that the Rabbanan may have had the following motivation. We're not going to play games here. with all due respect to the Prima God, we're not going to say to you, you know what, there's an Issa Shavuos, but for the sake of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, of Ner Shabbos, we're going to look the other way, we're going to override the Shavuos. No. Once there's an Issa Shavuos, we're going to take it straight across the board. We're going to go as far as we have to go with this. And we're going to say that the Shemen is possible. When you're dealing with Chanukah and the whole issue on the table is whether you fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, why should we exclude a possibility of Nebuch, a poor person, or whatever the case may be, who only has access to the Eved kind of situation? So go ahead and light it, and hopefully you'll get something out of the mitzvah. But when it got to Shabbos, the Rabbana said, we're not playing games over here. We're worried about Chil Shabbos. And we're going to go one step further. And we're going to passel the Shabbos. Now, Rabosa, if this is the case, then we have, you know, this I'm saying for those, maybe there's someone in the audience here who used to attend I used to give shiurim here in the Amic Learning Center on what I call Derech Alimut. I don't know if anybody here ever attended such a shiur. John, you were there. So this is a perfect example of Derech Alimut, what the Brisk is called Tzvei Dinim. There are two different dinim here. In Chanukah, it's not a dinim psul shemen. These inferior oils are not possible. They're kosher in themselves. It's only Allah of Lechatil Yesh Allah Sos in Yofa. But in Shabbos, it's a different din entirely. It's a psul in the Shabbos. So we now have two fundamental differences between the status of these inferior oils on Shabbos and the status of these inferior oils on Chanukah. The first difference is that on Shabbos we're dealing with an Isur. And the second difference is that on Shabbos we're dealing with a psul. Tzvei din.
Would that make these oils muksa on Shabbos?
Interesting. No, absolutely not. Because you can do a lot of things with Shemen HaGozim on Shabbos. Then you can't light. But, you know, Shemen HaGozim is a great thing, especially if it's Pesach and you're in Chutz Lachaim. I know, what do they do with Shemen HaGozim? I think somebody decided that they're kidneys, no? Or am I making a mistake? Like 90% of what we used to eat in America is also here on Pesach. You know, you got to become Sfaradim here on Pesach to eat anything. You know what I'm saying? Everything is kidneys. But now the OU is giving a hechsher on quinoa.
Quinoa.
Sorry, I didn't pronounce it.
They did it 3 or 4 years ago. Again.
Now they send mashgichim to, I don't know where it is, in Mexico, basically South America, and they watch to make sure that there's nothing that could even be used as flour anywhere within the vicinity of the quinoa. Did I get that right? Quinoa. Got to pronounce it the way the Mexicans pronounce it. Anyway, which is good news for me, by the way, because we use quinoa and Pesach for everything. It's like cholent with quinoa. Everything has quinoa in it. So we used to put up a sign on the outside of our house, if you don't eat quinoa and Pesach, don't cross the threshold of that door. I'm not joking. That was the sign. We relied on the Star K. That was good enough for us. But now you can even rely on the OU. Okay. So in the paragraph starting with the words Vehine, do you see that on the left bottom column of page Ches? He has a kashi here from Tosus. Tosus asks the following question. Rava, based on his understanding of Rav Huna, says, why? Because Rav Huna said you can't use these inferior oils on Shabbos. Let's talk about Shaviyata, and Shaviyata is only applicable if mutal ishtamish lior. So far, so good. Fectosis. How does Rav know such a thing? Maybe when Rav Huna says that you can't use these oils neither on the weekday of Chanukah nor on the night nor on Shabbos of Chanukah, what he meant to say was that let's apply the universal rule of that applies to the Shmonim during the rest of Chanukah. Let's apply it to the night of Shabbos as well. Maybe Rav Huda wasn't entering into the whole parasha of Shemiyata. Maybe he's just saying that, you know what? Don't use these neros because he can't use these neros the rest of the Chanukah, so you shouldn't use it on Shabbos Chanukah as well. That's the kash of Tosfos. And Tosfos, in order to answer this question, he does acrobatics in the air, and he says, why did Rav Huna have to add the words Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos? It's like Darshinan, you know, we have a drush of Yitur the Krah. There are just extra words in Rav Huna, and we have to build castles in the sky based on those extra words. He says, now we have a much better answer to this question. And that is that the problem with these inferior oils with regard to Chanukah is that we're afraid that they'll go out. And not only that, Rashi says, would it be that we could predict that they're going to go out? Right? It's getting already weak. Says Rashi, Dilma, three lines up from the bottom of Chafalchan, Dilma Pasha Velo Metakin Lo. You have that, Rashi? Everybody have it? If you have the Gemara, it's best to see it inside. It's the Rashi three lines up from before the end of the Taf. Dilma Pasha Velo Metakin Lo. If Rashi is saying that our objection to using these oils is that he's going to be a Poshea, and instead of fixing it up, he's going to leave it as it is, drop everything and go to wherever he has to go on the night of Chanukah. He got invited to a Sufganiyah party, so he's not willing to spend a half hour and hover over the Neros, the Loma Takimla. That logic does not apply on the night of Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, there's no possibility of Dilma Misakim because of the Isur Shabbos. Is Memela. Rav Huna should have said the following, that the status of these oils as a negative is only applicable during the weekday nights of Chanukah. But on the night of Shabbos, where there's no Dilma Pasha, because you can't call him a Poshe, you can't even impose upon him any sort of responsibility and obligation to hover over the candle, supervise them, and guarantee that they don't go out, that's totally inapplicable to Shabbos. He's an honest goer. There's no pshia here. And therefore, those neros, those shmonim, should be absolutely acceptable on Shabbos. The answer, on Shabbos of Chanukah. But the answer is, Shemayat. Yisdach Memela, we have to assume that mutul shtamish li'ora, and therefore the Shemayat. So at this point, the Gevuras Yitzchok asks a kash. Let's see if we can find the kash inside. If you're on page Ches, and you're counting up from the end of the page, on the left column, seven lines. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 lines. You see where it says, Ela Ditzarch Im. He says the following. Why does Rashi need Shema Yifsha? Let's assume that he was onus, right? He was a physician. He got called out on an emergency call. I don't know, Dr. Joel, as an ophthalmologist, do you have emergencies from time to time? Okay. That's what they say, why everybody applies to the specialty in dermatology, because there's no emergency calls for a dermatologist.
A lot of truth in that.
The trouble is that it's nearly impossible to get accepted to an internship in dermatology because everybody wants to be a dermatologist. Anyway, so he says the following. Forget about Dilma Yifsha. Rashi is saying that we have to worry about Dilma Yifsha. Why couldn't Rashi say Dilma Onus? Even if he'd be Onus, he would forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, correct? Let's read it inside. Tzarchiyin dekevedim kavsa lo yikayim mitzvasa. We're worried about the fact that it'll go out. And if the old kavsa zakel, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah. Lonely timer. Why does Rashi have to feel compelled to introduce Shema Yifsha? Afilie onus. Let's leave out the pshia. Let's say we're all good Jews, but he couldn't do it. Gamkein lo yikayim mitzvah. So we have to worry about the opportunity and the statistical probability of fulfilling the mitzvah. So it has nothing to do with pshia and onus. Ah, ulam lefi masha kasavnu de Rashi sover that din dein madlikim manach psilus bechol havi mishum de bi ein lo shemen kosher. Since the way we're reading Rashi is Rashi's telling us that the shmonim are not possible, right? If he has no other shemen, then this shemen will be kosher for the mitzvah. Right? It's only lechatchil tzarich lasos and yofes. He shomer the svila the Rashi. The imi chashash the shemen yichbe v'lo yikayim a mitzvah bevadai hoyelo lahadlik the ain sofik motzim idei vadai. In other words, Rashi is saying that if our whole fear here with regard to the shmonim is that he might be in a situation of anus, correct? He might be in a situation of anus, then that's not a reason to disqualify these oils, because you know what? Let him go ahead and fulfill this mitzvah, and as we said before, play Russian roulette, and hopefully he'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah. So you have a suffix that maybe the candle will go out. That's not enough to undermine the use of these candles, because Adarabba ain't suffix motzim devada. You know, at least now he can vada go ahead and be madlik the neiros, and maybe he'll get lucky. Mi kevin sheyesh chashash. And we're going on to page 10. Shema yifsha. V'lo yitakin ratzalom d'lovak she'ichos elokim ha-mitzvah ki'im she'yaro ha-mitzvah taimo af kishe'en lo shemen kosher is osro so lahadlik b'hanach psilos. Unbelievable. He comes to the conclusion that there's a fundamental difference between a person who's an anus and a person who's mevatel a mitzvah. And he says the following, that since in the case of Vishmanim, the mitzvah requires you, if your whole cup's a zokah, to stand over the neros, now we're worried about a situation where if he won't accept that upon himself, and he will ignore that chiyuv, then he becomes a mevatel as a mitzvah. If it was only a case of anus, so even though he doesn't have the mitzvah, but he's not being mevatel a mitzvah, because since the situation is anus, that's not called bitul mitzvah. Why did the Chacham get very nervous about these inferior oils, according to the Man Yoruba, who says, comes from Zokagla? It's because of Dilma Yivsha, says Rashi, because we're afraid that he won't live up to his responsibility to guarantee that the Nair would last for that half hour. He'll fly the coup, and that's called a Pshia. And that would constitute a bitul mitzvah essay. And a bitul mitzvah essay, albeit the Rabbanon, is worse than a case of anus. And that's what Rashi says we're worried. Now we're ready, Rabosai, for Simon Dalet. Okay. Now in Simon Dalet, we're back to a chiddush of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says the following. All right, kofsa zokah. But there's a limit here. There's a boundary line that you can't, a red line that you can't cross. You know what kofsa means? Kofsa means that, I'll give one example, but there are many examples, the wind blew out the flame. What are you left with after the wind blows out the flame? You're left with the oil, you're left with the nair, meaning the receptacle, you're left with the oil, with the wick, you're left with everything. That's called kofsa zok. However, says the Beis HaLevi, im nevda, if it's completely lost, somebody came along and accidentally, I don't want to attribute any ill, and he knocked over the nair, and boom, the shemen is on the floor, the wick is gone, the nair is gone, it's shattered into pieces, there's no kofsa zok. Says the Beis HaLevi, I'll tell you why. The Chachamim never obligated a person with two adlokas. If the original hadlaka is still there, and I can somehow resurrect it from the dead, there's a tchias amesim here, that's not the language of the Beis HaLevi, that's my language, then that's called kofsa zokakla. The word la means the original nair. Now that I still have the original nair, just the flame went out, I can rekindle it. And that's called kofsa zokakla. But says the Beis HaLevi, if the original nair is gone, then you talk about a brand new adlok with a brand new ner. That's not a ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is the original ner. There's no such thing that there are motivated takana of lighting two neros. Again, this mahaj, but I'm talking about the first night. So let's say the first night. Let's look at the Beis HaLevi and Son. You're on page Tess. I hope we all have page Tess. And he says, with Beis HaLevi on the second line of Siman Dalet, Nistape. Hecha de nishbach Hashemen v'nevda psilo lagamri im tzarich lahadlik b'shemen upsila cheres lahashlim shiur hanechsar. So initially, the Beis Halevi says that this should be dependent upon the machlokas where the kavs is zakek lo or ain zakek lo. And then he wants to suggest that even if kavsa ain, even if kavsa zakek lo, it's only zakek lo for that original ner, but not if the ner is nevad. You want to underline on line 3 the word venevda, right? That's the key, that's the secret password to remembering this Beis Halevi. And if you look a little weiter on line 7 or 8, he says, Aval im nishpach legamri lo chivu klal lahadlik acheres. There's no double hadlaka. You can resurrect, as we said, the original hadlaka, but there's no second hadlaka. Says the Beis Halevi, this chiddush is halacha lemaisa. What do you mean halacha lemaisa? The whole thing was built on the predicate of kavsa zakeklo. We paskin kavsa ein zakeklo. So he quotes the tshuva of the Marshal. The Marshal says that even with the dan that we paskin kavsa zakeklo, kavsa ein zakeklo, there is a scenario, there is a metzius in which kavsa zakeklo. And what's that? The kiva b'mezid. Oh, according to the Marshal, afilu kiba b'yadayim b'shogeg. So imagine the man is trying to get a beautiful ner Hanukkah. He starts tampering and playing with the ner, and you know he's trying to see if he can get more, you know, perfect the oil, move the wick. I don't know if you ever had this experience. I have it like every year because I buy these pre-prepared things, and they always give me anguish. Anyway, so he's playing with it to try to improve it. Boom! It goes out. That's called kiba. And the Marshal wants to say that in such a case, everybody agrees they has to rekindle the ner. And kavsa zakeklo. Kavsa ein zakeklo is only with the natural order of the universe. You know, the, what do we call it? The nature's. Okay, there's another word. Right? And if the ingredients of nature, you know, come in and a wind comes in and blows it out, ain zakeklo. But if there's a human intervention, and the Marshal goes very far with this, even if it was b'shogeg, that's already kavsa zakeklo l'kuli alma. Says the Beis Halevi. But what happens as he was tampering with the candle, he accidentally knocked it off, and it fell, smashed on the ground. What would the Marshal say in that case? Ain zakeklo. Why? Because the original ner is gone. So this chiddush of the Beis Halevi, that if the original ner is gone, there's no takon of shtei piyamim, applies even halacha l'maisa after we paskin kavsa ein zakeklo. Because there are scenarios in which, even according to our halacha, kavsa zakeklo, if he, through human intervention, or anybody else, put out the ner. Oh, she looked a little perplexed.
No,
you with me?
I got it.
Okay. Now, two chidushim here of the Gevuras Yitzchak. Chidush number one is he wants to know the following. What would the Beis Halevi say if I decided after Kavsa and Nevda, right, Kavsa and Nevda, I decided, ich bin a frumel, you know, so I decided to get another candle to replace the first candle. And he says the following, that if you read the Beis Halevi carefully, you might get the impression that, again, now back to the first paragraph, again, on line 8 or so, it says, Lo chivuhu klal lahadlik acheres, that within the purview of the Takana, they did not obligate him, in such a case of Nevda, to replace it with another Nev. Says the Gevuras Ari, that's not what the Beis Halevi has in mind. But rather, he says that the Beis Halevi is saying, and this is on the very bottom of your right column, if you're following in the text, that's the paragraph in Nira, he says, in Bechlal Yeshno Lekiyu Mitzvah K'shemadlik B'Shemen Acher. Why? Dilemad Diomer Kovsa Zokik Lovitzar Haneros Yu Dolkim Kol Meshach Hazman Mishetichacham Mishetichlerim Meshub. Be'inon, this is where you want to underline, Be'inon Shiehei Adloka Achas. And I'm thinking to myself, if I read this correctly, imagine with modern technology, you know, you could have like flashing lights, you know, like they have in discotheques. Imagine if you could have flashing neros, you know, that, you know, let's say you light X number of neros, and one ner would last for 10 minutes, and then it would go out, and immediately another ner would light for 10 minutes. And then you'd have a third layer next. So you could have a half hour's worth of lighting with five different neros, right? Which are consecutive. Says the Beis HaLevi, that's not the mitzvah of ner chanukah. The mitzvah of ner chanukah is create a ner that will last for the full half hour. That's called kavsa zokah. Is memela. If that's the yisod of the Beis HaLevi, then if the ner goes out and it's nevda, then what are you doing? You're creating a new ner to cover the next 10 minutes. That's not a mitzvah at all. So in other words, what the Gevura Sari wants to get to, and this is a big chiddush, is that if you accept the Beis HaLevi, that there's a fundamental difference between kavsa, when the shemen and the ner is there, in the case of nevda, then what the Beis HaLevi really means is that once it's nevda, the mitzvah is gone. And even if you would say, I'm going to be very strict about it, and I'm going to come up with a new ner, I'm going to spend the money and do the effort, it would be worthless. Why would it be worthless? Because the yesoda yesodas here is in the ner. I need the ner to be a ner dolk, right? It's not just enough to be madlik the ner. I need that full half hour from that ner to take a different ner in order to fill in the blanks and achieve the goal of a half hour of Achatikler and Shuk. That we can't do. It's got to be one ner and only one ner. So if it went out and I still have the shemen, I rekindle the ner and I have that one ner and it lasts a full half hour. You and I would have said, well, wait a minute, there was a half second, there was a 5 minute break. We're not worried about the 5 minute break. Why? Because you still have the ner going. But if the ner is gone and it's history, and now you want to fill in the blanks to get to your goal of Achatikler Rig Mashuk with another ner, that's a no-go. That's Chiddush number one. But here comes Chiddush number two. And this is really way out. He says the following. Ulam. Again, if you're on the left column, on the bottom of page, Tess. Right in the middle of this paragraph, a line that starts with the word hadlaka, if you could find such a thing, and you move towards the left, you have ulam. You have that? He says the following. I get very excited about this, Rabosa. Very excited. This is an unbelievable chiddush. So if you want to start sharpening your knives, now's the time to do it. Because this is a major breakthrough. He says that he cannot accept the Beis HaLevi when the Beis HaLevi says that today, even after we paskin kovsa ein zokakla, this chiddush is still relevant, this distinction between nevda and kovsa. In the context of our discussion about human intervention, where they put out the candle, and even though we paskin kofsa ein zokakla, in this case where there was human intervention, kofsa zokakla, and the Beis HaLevi says that's only if what? If it's kofsa, but not if it's nevda. Says the Gevura Sari, there's a mistake. This can't be so. And there's no, his goal is to say there's no bearing or repercussions today post Kavsa ain't zakakla to the Beis HaLevi's chiddush. And he asks the following question. Why is it that in the case of human intervention, everybody agrees, even Kavsa ain't zakakla, the Kavsa zakakla? And he says the following. You can't tell me that it's because I need a ner dolok. Because again, the yesoda yesodas of Kavsa ain't zakakla is that you yotzi with that luck itself. It must mean that somehow, and this is the magic of this marshal, and without the marshal, the case of amazing, that what you're doing is you are undermining the ner itself. It's a bittle of the ner. Let's go over the logic. He says, arguing from the from the opposite position, rejecting the other alternative. You can't tell me that since there's human intervention, you don't have an air dolok, and therefore you have to rekindle the lid, because we're holding now the kovsa ein zokla. Of course, ein zokla means you're yotzi with what? With adloka. And adloka was adloka ru'uya. There was nothing lacking in adloka. So what is this? What is the whole logic here of saying that if it was kaval yedei ma'isa adam, then everybody agrees, even if I would come saying zokla, comes to zokla? The answer can only be that I've undermined the original nair. If that be the case, Rabosai, then there's no difference between kovsa and nevda. Even though it was kovsa, even in a case where he still has the nair going, there would be no point whatsoever to rekindle the nair. Why? Because according to the Beis HaLevi, you can't fill in this half hour with different nairos, and the original nair is gone. If you don't say that the original adlok is gone, then why are you telling me kovsa zaka klal? The answer is that there's this magical chiddush here, that if human intervention, if I actively destroy the nair, in other words, I put it out, then that nair is gone. How does that work? I don't know. The magic of l'mafreya, you know, it's retroactively, the nair is batal. Let's read it inside. He says the following. Ulam, mashakosav, meaning what the Beis HaLevi writes, the nafkamina gamle didan, bekiba b'yadayim shezokiklov, yochel lahadlikam b'shemen acher, right, if the first shemen is gone, so not only did you tamper with the shemen, but you actually pushed it over the ledge and it all spilled out. And now you have to rekindle it. But he says that because it's nevda, that's why you can't rekindle it. He says, "Tzarich iyun d'lamadi yomakov sayin zokik lo leka klal shir kamet tzarich shei doik v'rak din b'maisad loka." Right? You don't have to have it lit for a half hour because we all kovsa ain zokik lo. So as long as that loka was okay, and we have every reason to anticipate that loka would last for the full shir, then that's okay. Hecha d'lo nosan kishir. Okay, that's something different. If he put in a minimal amount of oil, and that now the candle can't—it doesn't even have the potential of lasting until Achitich Rek Mashuk. Then okay, then it's possible. But in kovsa b'mezid, so what's the issue over here? As far as adlaka is concerned, it was a perfectly good adlaka. In other words, he had a shear of shemen, and it was royal adlaka. So why are you telling me that kovsa zakakla in this case? Bal karachach, and here we turn to page Yud. We have no choice but to assume that is batlo l'mafreya adlaka rishon. It's the only way, by process of elimination, that you could justify this halach. V'chashim k'mol shelo nasan b'shem en kishir. In Cain, b'vadai, yochel lahadlik gam b'shem en acher, came in the adlaka rishon. Oh, okay, here's where I made a mistake, so it's good that I read the text inside. He wants to say the following. There's no difference between nevda and kovsa in this case, meaning taking a brand new volume of shemen, or using the old shemen for the first nair. Why? Because the first nair is completely gone. It didn't happen. And if it didn't happen, and we're still saying kovsa zokikla in this case, it must mean that there's one nair. Why is there one nair when I relight the nair and I take a new shemen? The answer is because the old nair never existed. If the old nair never existed, then the nair that I'm lighting now is the first nair. And if it's the first nair and it can last out Shetikla Ergen Meshuk, then I'm Yotzi the Mitzvah. So in other words, if we hold Kovsa Ein Zokikla, but nevertheless in the case of Al Yedei Maisa Yadav, Bishogi, Meza, whatever the case is yet, is Kovsa Zokikla, it means Kovsa Zokikla because you never lit a nair. And if you never lit a nair, this is going to be the first nair. And if this is going to be the first nair and it can last out for a half hour, then you're responsible to light the nair. The first nair is gone. When does the Beis HaLevi's chilik, his distinction, make sense? It's applicable only if you have the first nair. So if you have the first nair and now you want to fill in with a second nair, that you can't do. That's called nevda. But if you don't have the first nair, and you never had the first nair, because it was never ad luck on the first round, then even the Beis HaLevi would have to admit that no matter what happened to the first nair, it's irrelevant. Whether you have the shemen, you don't have the shemen, nishpach, or it's there, or kovsa, you would have to alight a new nair. Mamish, an unbelievable chiddush. Now you see the paragraph on page Yud. I want to time myself. How are we doing over here? We're going to get to Siman Hey today? I don't know. Anyway, he has the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer has the following chiddush. Now this is, here on both sides, we're tempted to lump together the Avnei Nezer's chiddush with the Beis HaLevi's chiddush. Because on the outside, they sound very, very similar. But when we get a little deeper below the surface, they're different one from the other. Says the Avnei Nezer, even if you hold, okay, let's see where, I want to sort of mislead you for pedagogical purposes. I'm going to show you which line in the Avnei Nezer sounds almost identical to the Beis HaLevi. Then we'll go back to the beginning and we'll see it's not the Beis HaLevi. He says the following. He says that, and here if you want to count down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down, he says, and he's going quite to the Ma'adi Yom HaKavsa Zokakla, he says, Afilu im Kavsa, Kevan Shanera Dayin Kayam. What does he mean? The original Shemin is still there. Is Mechuyiv Ladlika. But Ein Achinami, this is all the Avnei Nezer. Im Nevda Haner, so far it sounds exactly like the Beis HaLevi. But let's go back to the top, and then if we read it carefully, we'll see it's a whole different pshat. Yesh ledayek, he says on the second line of this paragraph, Mi'am Ramban, the Aflaman the Omer Kavsa Zokik La Lo Yotzi Yedecho Vasa Bad Loka. I'm sorry. Please underline those words. This is a big chiddush. Again, if we had time, we'd go through the Ramban with a fine tooth comb and see if the Avnei Nezer is justified in deriving this conclusion. But let's get to the conclusion itself. If I would wake up in the middle of the night and ask you, Kovsa Zokikla, were you Yotze in the mitzvah if it went out?
No.
Comes along the Avnei Nezer, based on a Diyuk in the Ramban, and he comes to the exact opposite conclusion, that even according to the Ma'adi Omar, who holds Kovs of Zokikla, if it goes out, he was Yotze the Mitzvah. So what does Kovs of Zokikla mean? Rak, or Ella, I would say, right? Keva de Kolzmanshu Dolik, because we're holding out Kovs of Zokikla, which means Ner Doluk, right? Ner Doluk. Mitzvah. Every second that passes from Tishker Hacham until Achitichler Egel Shukav Ahol Kovs and Zokik was is a continuous mitzvah, and I'll prove it to you. Says the Avnei Nezer, Sharei Oso L'shtamish Liora. Right, there's a bittel heker if you start using the nair for your own purposes. So it must mean that there's still a kiyum here, an ongoing kiyum of nair doluk. And that's what Kovsa Zokiklod means. Not only that, it's also Chabosa Tokhazman. You're not allowed to tamper with the candle and put it out for that half hour. Al came therefore Filu im Kovsa, even if you didn't put it out, it went out on its own. Keva Nera Dayan Kayom. Here's where the Avnei Nezer introduces the chiddush that sounds identical to that of the Beis HaLevi. If the Nair is still there, meaning the Nair and the Shemen and the Wicks are still there, is Enochinami. Then is Mechuyev Ladlika. Why? Kevon Shehu Ner Chanukah. V'eino Chinami Dim Nevad HaNer Eino Mechuyev Ladlik Acher. Umidigduk HaLoshon Zokuk La. This the Avnei Nezer wants to say. It says Zokuk La. La means for that Ner. But in Hidlik Ner Acher Eino Klum. Why? Says the Avnei Nezer, Kevon shekvar yotza chovaso v'ner ha'acher chol. Rabosa. Both the Avnei Nezer and the Beis HaLevi came to the same conclusion, that in the case of Nevda, it's meaningless to light another candle, even though I hold Kavsa Zokikla. But Nevda is out of the question, but for two different reasons. What was the logic of the Beis HaLevi? And now we'll compare and contrast it to the logic of the Avni Nisim. Who remembers the logic of the Beis HaLevi? Why is it meaningless to set up another Ner? Correct, because you have to have within one lighting a Ner that's going to last for that full half hour. That's called Kavsa Zakekla. Correct? And now you're substituting with a brand new Ner because the first Ner was gone. It was Nevda. You can't have, I need a word for it, you know, neon lights that go on, you know, what? Sequentially? What word can I use?
Sequentially.
Okay. The Avni Nezer is saying something totally different. V'ner ha'acher chol. What's he saying? Can you translate the words? Not literally, but conceptually.
It's not a ner chanukah.
It's not a ner chanukah. It's not a ner mitzvah. It's a ner chol. Why? Nobody? Because he was yotze with the first one. The halach is the following. That original Nair, you have to keep it going for a half hour. That's called Kavsa Zakekla. However, if it goes out, you fulfill the mitzvah with that Nair. Now you can rekindle that Nair to enhance your mitzvah and reach the finish line of Achitikla Regel Ben Ashur. But if you're going to take another Nair because the first Nair was Nevda, that's a Nair Chol. That's not a Nair Chanukah. Two different explanations, but they both came to the same conclusion. Conceptually, they're worlds apart. The Beis HaLevi is saying the reason why in Nevda you can't light another candle is because the mitzvah of Achatichla Regel Ben Ashuk that requires, according to this Ma'ad Yomar and the Kofs and Zakek Law, has to be fulfilled with one Ner and not more than one Ner. You've got to get a Ner that takes you from the beginning until the finish line. The Beis HaLevi, that's the Beis HaLevi. The Avni Nezer is saying something totally different. And he's saying that you were yotze the mitzvah, even though it was kavsa. That's a radical chiddush. And he's medayik this from the Ramban. No one would have the audacity to say such a thing if not for the Ramban. So it means that kavsa zakek law is in order to achieve the full time, but you were already yotze the mitzvah. So you have an added element here called a tag on, an add on to keep it going. If you now substitute another Ner, that Ner is a Ner Chol because you were already Yotzi the Mitzvah. The Beis HaLevi never would have dreamt of such a thing. Chas v'shalom to say it's a Ner Chol, but the Beis HaLevi says you can't be Mekayem your Mitzvah with two different Neros. And now we get to the paragraph that starts with Nireh. Do you have that on the bottom right? And he says the following. If you hold Kavsa Ein Zakek La, then all you need is to set up a hadlaka in a way that the hadlaka could last for a full half hour. Right? You have to, yeah, there's no wind, and you have enough oil, etc., etc. And yotzi dechovasa. So, wait a minute. So, what's the difference between kavsa zakekla and kavsa ein zakekla? According to the Avni Nezer, even if you hold kavsa zakekla, you still will yotzi the mitzvah if it went out. So where in the nafkamina? So I thought, before I saw his presentation, the nafkamina is whether I'm obligated to set up another Nair. Not really another Nair, because going to the Nair, so another Nair would be a Nair Chol, but to relight the Nair that I have. Correct? Whereas if I hold Kof Saint Zakekla, I don't have to relight that Nair. He says, no, that's not true. Even if I hold Kofsa Ain Zakekla, but there's a look of Kol Meshach Hadlakosa Daina Mitzvah Kayon. For example, the Marshal says that you can't destroy the Nair. And he's saying that Laloch Lamaisa, even though we hold Kavsa Ein Zakekla. It means that the mitzvah requires that the Nair keep going and it still has the status of a Nair. For example, if you want to benefit from the Nair for your personal use, you're not allowed to do that until after the half hour passes. So it means that there is such a thing as Nair Dolok. And not only that, the shear of the Nair requires that you put enough of a volume of oil to last for a half hour. So you see that there's a continuous mitzvah of Nair Chanukah for that half hour. And that holds, even according to the Ma'an d'Omar, Kavsa Ein Zakekla, which is the way we pasuk. So what then is the difference, according to the Avni Nezer, between Kavsa Zakekla and Kavsa Ein Zakekla? It's a wild, wild question. You know, we have entrenched in our minds that the most fundamental difference, the most fundamental issue in Hilchas Ner Chanukah is Kosa Zakuk La Kosa Ein Zakuk. We've now reduced it to a null set. Why? Let's go over the two premises. Premise number one is that even if I hold Kosa Zakuk, I fulfill the mitzvah with that lakah. Ella what? I want to keep the Ner going. So therefore I'm going to relight the candle, which means it's the same candle and it's still going. Premise number two is that Kavsa Zakuk, Ein Zakuk Lo, would also require that I rekindle the light, because we have so many proofs that the Ner Chanukah remains a mitzvah for the full half hour. A, because we said you're not allowed to tamper with the Ner. B, you're not allowed to benefit from the Ner for that full half hour. C, you have to add the oil that'll last for the half hour. There's so many proofs, and this is all halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and we pass in Kavsa Ein Zakuk Lo. So he comes up with a brilliant idea. He says, "V'nira, that what's the difference in kavsa zakuk lo, kavsa ein zakuk lo? It's like a galecht. I mean, this is like a joke. You know, going back to such basics, like the most fundamental issue. But we have to find an afkamina now, because according to the Avdei Nezer and all his premises, we've reduced it to a null set." And he says the following: the difference is between chiyuv and kiyuv. Watch this. He says in the bottom, on the paragraph in Nira, he says that if you hold kovsa ein zokik lo, mashadolik acharkach, eino ela kiyu mitzvah. Can you underline those words? Kiyu mitzvah. Aval, look at the next, the top line. Aval eino of chiyu vlasos kein. In other words, they never imposed upon him a chiyu of an obligation to rekindle the net. Why? Because hadlakos a mitzvah, and therefore it comes to ein zakuk lo, meaning ein zakuk lo, meaning ein chayav lahadlikas. And again, if he wants to voluntarily add to the mitzvah of ner chanukah, and that's, you know, ner chanukah is a mitzvah you want to really add on to, then he'll be motivated enough to light it again, the same candle, so that it goes until it lights until at shetichla regel in a shuk. But he's not obligated to do so. That's not inherent in the chiyuv. There's one chiyuv to do the ma'aseh hadlaka. After that, you're on your own. And you get a kiyuv, we'll give you brownie points, but it's an eino mitzuva v'yos. Masha ein ken, he says, if you hold kavsa zakuk lo, this is about nine lines down, you'll see a line that starts with the word makayim. Do you have it? Again, I'm a little uncomfortable about the word tzorich, so if you don't mind, I would substitute the word chayav. Right, chayav lachzor uladlika. Again, if it's still around, if it's gone, then it's meaningless. Because according to the Avdei Nezer, once you've established the Ner Chanukah in the first, and you were already Mekayim the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, even though Kovsa, the second Ner, if it's a totally new Ner, is going to be a Ner Chol and not a Ner Mitzvah. But if it's still there, then you're Chayav to relight it. In other words, even though you fulfilled your basic mitzvah of Maisa Adloka, but you still have a mitzvah of Ner Dolok, that's called Kovsa Zakuk Lo. Whereas according to the Man Yom, who says Kofsa Ein Zakuk Lo, you'll gain a Kiyum HaMitzvah if you have a Ner Dolog, but you're not obligated to do so. Now those who've been with me in the past know that I'm very heavy into this distinction between a Chiyum and a Kiyum. In fact, whenever you learn Sugyas and Shas about women in terms of their obligation or lack thereof, and if you're an Ashkenazi and you follow Rabbeinu Tam, you're always going to distinguish between a chiyuv and a kiyuv. So for example, a woman is not chayiv in Talmud Torah, but she has a kiyuv of Talmud Torah. The Rambam goes out of his way to say yesh la schar. Again, you have to know about the Sugya in Sota, about Tiflus, you know, when you apply Tiflus, when you don't apply Tiflus. But as a fundamental rule, and Yitzhak, if you don't mind closing the door behind you just for the next 5 minutes or so, thank you, then a woman has a kiyum mitzvah. In fact, if a woman is blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah or taking a lulav on Sukkot, and she happens to be an Ashkenaziah, what would she do?
Make a bracha.
She'd make a bracha. So you see, even you can even make a bracha on a kiyum mitzvah. That's how important the Kiyum HaMitzvah is. But you can't say that she was Mavatil the Mitzvah if she didn't come to hear the Shofar blowing. Again, our minhag is that we, it's about believing that out. So now the question is Kovsa. And the there is still there, but it's out. Do I have to rekindle it? Nay, because I hold Kovsa in Zokan. But will I get a Kiyum HaMitzvah if I rekindle it? The answer is yes. If I hold Kovsa Zokan, then I'm chayav to light.
Nice.
And now he quotes a tshuva, Rabbi Kivega. This is in the paragraph that starts Vehine. And Rabbi Kivega says the following. Abby, this will be familiar to you, because we covered this a little bit in the Mishnah Berurah class. Rabbi Kivega wants to know if someone omitted a bracha accidentally on Ner Chanukah. Let's take a dramatic case. On the last night of Chanukah, he lit 8 candles. And for some reason, don't ask me why, he forgot to make the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. Can he make the bracha at that point in time? He's already lit 8 candles. So Vegas says, wait a minute. If he hasn't lit the very last candle, even if he lit 7 out of 8, then there's over lasiyasan on the last candle. And that's based on the Eliyahu Rabbah. The Eliyahu Rabbah says that you can make a bracha, a birchas mitzvah, on hidur mitzvah. And if the 8th candle is a kiyum of hidur mitzvah, mahadrin, make a bracha. However, if he already lit the last of the candles, then I don't know, says Rabbi Kivega. I'm not sure about this. Even according to the Eliyahu Rabbah, you might have to forfeit the bracha because there's no overlasiyasim, even for a hidur. That's point number one. Then point.
What's the suffix?
Oh, that's what we're going to get to. Because, listen carefully, again, unfortunately I'm pressured for time, so but I can't hold myself back from answering your question, even though I have something more essential to you. But I want to answer your question. In Halacha, this is in the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch, it says that if I forgot to make a bracha on my talis, as long as my talis is on my body, I can make the bracha. I forgot to make the bracha when I put on my tefillin, as long as my tefillin are on my body. I forgot to make a bracha on mezuzah, I can still make the bracha on mezuzah. I forgot to make the bracha on lulav, I can still make the bracha on lulav. That's called Adayin Asiyosa Kayemes. So Rabbi Kivega is going to vacillate back and forth. If the candles are still lit, there's no Maisa Adlaka, maybe it's still a Dayan Asiyosa Kayemes. Does that answer your question? And he's going to vacillate back and forth, and he's going to make a distinction between all the other cases where the Beged is still on him, and the Mezuzah is still on it, and the Chanukah is still lit. And he says, that's not enough. Okay. But this is the main point of Rabbi Kivega. The Prima Gadim holds you don't make a bracha on Hidur Mitzvah. So what happens now if he lit 7 out of 8 candles and he didn't make the bracha? So you and I would say that according to Prima Gadim, there's no way that he can make the bracha on the 8th candle, or for that matter on the 2nd candle on the second night of Hanukkah, because that's only Hidur Mitzvah. So Rabbi Kivega wants to say that there's a bombastic chiddush over here, that even the Prima Gadim, who does not allow you to make a bracha on a Hidur Mitzvah, in this case he would allow you to make the bracha. Why? And he says the following. Where is it? Just one second. Oh, I'm sorry, I made one mistake. Rabbi, you made the same mistake before, so I repeated your mistake. Instead of Prima Gadim, we're talking about the Pre-Chadosh. Sorry. He says, V'afledas ha-pri-chadosh, he was a century before the Prima Gadol, she'en mevarchin al hidur mitzvah, yesh lomar, di'af benizkar acha gmar hadlaka. This is wild. He already finished all the hadlakas, and he can still make a bracha. Mevarch. Why? Kevin de tzark shir la hadlaka, mitzishkishka chamet shetich lag v'shuk, imken kol meshach hadlakaso, adayin mitzvah so kayemes. He wants to suggest the following. If the mitzvah is already gone, Let's say, for example, Mila. He did the bris mila, he finished it, but he left out tzitzin, shena ma'akvin, it's hider mitzvah, katis tzitzin. Then he would never make a bracha on mila for the tzitzin, shena ma'akvin, because that's pure hider mitzvah, that's the sheet of the pichadash. We don't make a bracha on a maisa that was completed and the mitzvah is gone. So man was makadish and isha. He said, areya mekudeshesli bi paron zeh. He gave it the paron, and all of a sudden he reminds himself, I didn't make the bracha, the brichas erusin, gone, it's fafal. But in a case where the mitzvah is still kayemes, then even the pre-chadash would admit that you can make the bracha. And he bases his definition of ner chanuk on a rush. The rush wants to know, they're ready for mincha already? Okay, Rabosi, so we'll stop here. So let's make a note that we're on the bottom of page Yud. And what's the last page you have? You have Yud Yud Beis? All right, if somebody could help me tomorrow and we can photocopy your Beis, your Dalet, your Tesvah, Tesayin, I would be appreciative. I wish we had time to make a summary of all the Chidushim that we saw today. I mean, it's not just one Chidush after the other. Very quiet after. Does that mean they started it? No, they started.